Love Station.
K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria, 88.1.
Get ready. Don't touch that dial. Welcome to New Life Ministries broadcast. I'm Pastor Gregory Tenney of the Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust you will enjoy today's broadcast.
Welcome to G Smooth City, where you're a citizen, with your host, Pastor G Smooth Denny.
Hello, thank you for tuning into this broadcast. But truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. We're so thankful that you decided to tune in on this morning to listen at a word from the Lord. For look, we ask you that you would tune in every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., and look, on Sunday mornings, you can come by way of Facebook every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. promptly. For truly, we are a church that equipped the saints, evangelized the sinner, and enhancing this society as one church ministering hope to four generations through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of being able to share. For truly, God, you have been a God that has been so good to us. And really, you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. And we ask you, Lord, that you would continue to bless us and keep us. And we ask you that you would bless this United States of America. For truly, Lord, we stand in the need of a blessing. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you would touch the heart and regulate the minds of the President of the United States, that he would do what's best for your people. We ask you, Lord, that you continue to keep us in the cradling of your arms, continue to love us, continue to shower us with your blessing. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to talk for a few moments on the subject of time. Doesn't stand still for anybody. Time doesn't stand still for anybody. And who's better to talk talk about time other than the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ? For look, if you look at the 24th book of Psalms, it says that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, for the world and they that dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul into vanity nor sown deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings of the Lord and righteousness of his salvation. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Then he say, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. God has the deed of ownership of everything. And my brothers and sisters, he regulates the time. He sets the time. And time doesn't stand still for anyone. And as I think about time, I think about all of our brothers and sisters that waste their time. You see so many folk that are standing on the corners at the stores and they are just wasting their time standing on corners doing nothing. You see folk that are just taking their time and just throwing it away and just not doing anything productive. But my brothers and sisters, when you waste time, you can't go back and get what you've wasted. But we should learn, time shows us one thing. If we would really look at it and regulate it, it would show us our misfortunes. It would show us our downfalls. It would show us everything that we need to know in life. If we really, really look at Father Time, and we need to take our time and be essential. You know, time passes so fast, and I'm coming to find that in my life. time passes so fast. I have so much on my plate trying to help somebody, trying to do this and do that and take care of my priorities. And then a pastor in a church trying to help those in the church that need help. And it seems sometimes like it's just not enough time to do these things. But my brothers and sisters, we got to come to know that whatever time we have and whatever time we use, we have to use it wisely, because time waits on no one. If you come to, you'll come to find that even in the midst of growing up, you can't go back and redo what you didn't do. But what you can do is you can do better than you've done in the past. And you got to know, my brothers and sisters, that only what we do for Christ is going to last. The book tells you that God owns everything. And God is the creator of everything. And if God owns everything, he creates everything, who is it much better to go to than the creator of everything? And if you have not come to realize that everything that you do in life, time plays its part, you need to go back and regroup, recollect, and review everything that you've done in the past and what you're about to do in the future. Isn't it good to know that we serve a God that owns everything? We serve a God that sits high, but yet he looks low. We serve a God that look beyond our fault to see our needs. We serve a God that, look, can't nobody do us like he does us. And that's a good thing. We serve a God that supplies our needs. We serve a God that stands by us. We serve a God that gives us comfort. We serve a God that in the midst of our bereavement, when we lost our loved one, we serve a God that is there for us. And you know, people fail you all the time. People hurt your heart all the time. Have you ever had a heartbreak? Folk can break your heart any time, anywhere, and anyhow. But look, that's people. But we serve a God that doesn't work in breaking hearts, but we serve a God that mends hearts. We serve a God that fills your heart. We serve a God that restores. We serve a God that sanctifies. We serve a God that purifies. And that's a good thing. But my brothers and sisters, know that whatever time you have left on this earth, whatever time that God has allotted you to have, you ought to spend it wisely. Some folk don't appreciate good people. Some folk don't appreciate the things that people do for them. Some folk don't appreciate anything. But if you know like I know, it means a lot when you have somebody you can turn to, somebody you can talk to, somebody you can count on, somebody you can look at for security, somebody that you know that you can reach out to. And one person, one spirit that I know that you can reach out to anytime is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He looked beyond our faults to see our needs. He's our financial advisor. He's our housekeeper. He's our way maker. He's our rock in the weary land. He's our shelter in the time of a storm. He's the man that even in the midst of the storm, he can tell the storm to be still. You ain't heard what I said. God can tell any storm in your life to be still. Whatever storm it is, if there's a sickness that you're dealing with, God can say to it, peace, be still. God can tell anything in your life to be still. And that's good to know that we serve a God that not only can tell the storms and the winds and the waves in your life to be still, but God can heal you in the midst of anything. God is good. And if you know like me, the time that you have allotted on this earth, the time that you have right now, my brothers and sisters, listen at me good. Use your time very wisely. Don't waste your time, because time is a very valuable and an essential part of your life. And too long have we wasted time. Too long have we thought we've just done any old thing. Look, I remember when I would take American history and we, you know, and every now and then they would talk about slaves and so forth and so on, but they didn't talk about it too much. But look, if you look back and recollect back, you'll find that our people were in captivity. Just like the Israelites were in captivity, our people was in captivity for quite a long time. And, you know, slavery has been around for quite some time. But look, time changes things. And I say that because now we are not living in a time where we deal with slavery far as physically, but we are dealing with slave mentality spiritually. And my brothers and sisters, let me just free your mind. Don't let anyone put you in captivity spiritually. Because spiritually, you will be set free. God will set you free in the midst of anything. When people have locked you up, that is a means of slavery. That is a means of captivity. But isn't it good to know that in the midst of your confinement, you still can be free? God wants all of us to be free, not just physically, but spiritually. And when we are free spiritually, good God Almighty, you ain't heard me. The wind that blows in your life can stop. The storms that come in your life will cease. The hurricanes that seem to tear down will no longer exist. God wants you to use your time very wisely. And when you use your time wisely, I believe it would be pleasing in the eyesight of God. Please, I leave this with you. Do not waste your time. Some things in life you'll find that it's not worth even spending time on. But the good thing about it is serving God is always a good thing to do. It's always something that we can do in order to be productive. God wants you to be productive in your life. God wants you to live wealthy. You are wealthy because the God we serve is a rich God. He's a God that has everything, not something, but all things. Look, my brothers and sisters, we ask you that you continue to tune into this broadcast. If you feel like donating to this broadcast, you can donate by making checks of money order payable to Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church. Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church. And you can mail it to 150 Browns Lane, Pineville, Louisiana. And look, support what you have in your city. I know we like to send money abroad and do things abroad and televangelists and all of this and all of that. But why not support your homeboy, your home church? Why not support people in your community that's trying to do something and trying to do something better? Remember this, when you call on me, I'm always there. When you need assistance, I'm always there. When you ask me for help, I am always there. Now, I'm asking you. You've just heard New Life Ministries of Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, 4800 Smith Avenue. Your love, gifts, and offerings are greatly appreciated. You can send all donations to 150 Browns Lane, Pineville, Louisiana, 71360. At Second Nazarene, we equip the saints, evangelize the sinner, and enhancing this society as one church ministering hope to four generations through the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next time. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Charles, 100.1.
Good morning on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. Let's go to the Word. 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, "But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also." I had something planned for this, but driving today, the Lord told me I've got something different for you. So I'm gonna tell you a little story. Got a call from my wife today. She said, "Hey, I got a call from our kid's school. And they said, hey, just wanted to let you know that your son's teacher got fired. And it's because she was being unkind to him." My wife says, "Well, unkind how?" I said, "Well, she kind of pushed him into a desk and put her knee behind the chair where he couldn't move." My wife tells me this, and I'm like, "Well, I don't know what to do with that. Can we see a video? They record everything now. Can we watch it?" They didn't want to really give us much. Wasn't much we could do about it. We just knew she got fired. A couple of hours later, my wife gets a call from a detective and says, "Hey, do y'all want to press charges?" And then we're like, "Well, hold on now. There's got to be something else to this that they're calling and asking us to press charges." So we ask him if we can see the video, and he says normally wouldn't be able to with it being an ongoing investigation, but I'm a dad, so I'm gonna come and show y'all the video. So he comes over, shows us, and in the video it starts out where it's just her and these 11 just out of their mind kids running around with no regard of anything. You know, you got two of them fighting over here. One got knocked down. Now there's a meltdown going on. You got two of them over here. One pushed the other one. Now that one's on the ground having a meltdown. You got two more over here that got into it, and one's having a meltdown. And you just see this one lady just trying to control all this, and she's being pulled in 12 different directions. Well, she starts grabbing chairs and putting the kids sitting down in the chairs, and she gets this one kid and she kind of pushes him into the table with a little bit of force, goes and grabs a couple more kids, and she gets to my son. And this is when the detective says, "This is where you want to watch." So I'm expecting just like she's going to like slam his head into the table or something. She grabs him, she puts him in the chair, and with a little bit of force, she pushes him to the table, puts his hands down on the table. So she turns around and goes grab a couple more kids and sits them down. By this time, my son pushed his chair out about 3 feet away from the table, and she turns around, goes back to him, same thing. She pushes him into the table with a little bit of force and puts his hands down on the table, turns around, goes deal with a couple more kids. My son does the same thing. She turns around, pushes him into the table with a little force, puts his hands down on the table. She finally got all the kids seated, and you can see her and my son having a conversation. He's sitting in his chair, she's standing up, and you can see them looking at each other talking. And I recognize that face. So I know that face right there. He's telling her he's not going to do something. And he's not. I know my kid. He's hard-headed. But she was real gentle with him. You know, she wasn't what I expected was going to happen. You know, she wasn't going just outrageous and slamming him into a wall or, you know, body slamming him into the floor or anything like that. She picks him up and takes him to the bathroom and changes his pull up, and you can see into the bathroom the whole time. You know, she's not being rough with him. She's talking to him. They get done, come back out. He sits in the chair, and he does it again. He scoots his chair out about 3 feet. She walks up to him with a little bit of force, pushes him back into the table, and puts his hands on the table. She, you know, goes to doing a few things, and Next thing you know, she picks him up and goes and puts him in the timeout chair. Well, she doesn't just put him in the timeout chair, though. She gets down on the floor and starts talking to him. Like, she's sitting on the floor talking to him. And you can tell they're having a conversation, but it looks like this woman's crying. It looks like she's just bawling over there. And my heart just broke for her at this moment. Because I know what my son does. Like, I know how he acts. I'm not one of those parents that's going to, you know, my son. Oh, no, not my son. No, that's not me. I know my kids. Well, so she got fired for this. And, you know, the cop asks, you know, after we watched the video, do y'all want to press charges? I was like, no. He said, well, before y'all answer, y'all go ahead and go home and talk about it. My wife's like, we don't need to talk about it. We're not pressing charges. And I told the cop, you know, I said, my heart goes out to that woman. Like, look at what she was having to deal with by herself. She's got 11 kids in there by herself. They're going crazy. And now she's getting fired because she did, in my opinion, less than what I do to my kid on a daily basis. You know, I discipline him. But she didn't do, like, she didn't spank him. She didn't do anything like that. She didn't get crazy rough with him. You know, she just tried to make him listen. In all this, Lord really started speaking to me about grace. You know, I haven't been a Christian for very many years, but just a couple years ago, I wouldn't have been able to give that woman grace in that situation. I would have been, oh, how dare you? How dare you touch my kid? How dare you get a little rough with him? But now that I know Jesus, I'm able to give the grace that he's given us. After all this happened, I looked up the definition of grace. And the definition of it is, in Christian belief, the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. So it really got me thinking, you know. Two words really stuck out to me in there. Free. We didn't have to do anything for it. We didn't have to pay for it. It was freely given to us. Salvation, eternal life, forgiveness of sins. It was freely given to us. Unmerited. We didn't have to do anything for it, and we don't deserve it. Nothing we could do could make us deserve what Christ has done for us. And in this situation, because we know that grace that is being freely given to us, we're able to give that grace to this woman. She doesn't deserve it. I mean, in my eyes, she didn't do anything wrong. But if you look at it through a legal point of view, she broke the law, which says something about where we are today as a society. That's against the law. But we were able to give her that grace that she absolutely didn't deserve. But one day, we're all going to need that grace. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. in our time of need. When do you need grace? I need it all the time. Several times throughout the day. That lady needed that grace. She'd already lost her job. She'll probably never get another job in education for the rest of her life. That school, that 4 years of school that she went through, that's down the drain. But she could have went to jail too. But because we know the grace provided by Jesus Christ, we were able to give her that grace. In Matthew 7, it says, don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have that nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead, just living your part. Wipe that ugly sneer off your face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. With the same grace that we're given, we have to turn around and give that to people. God didn't have to give us that grace. Because he loves us, he gave it to us. And Jesus tells us to love. Like that's the one commandment he gave us, was to love. Love God, love your neighbor. If we're supposed to be Jesus in the world, then we have to give what he's given us. We have to give that grace. And the same measure that we give is what will be measured back to us. And when we gave that grace to that woman, it wasn't in our minds, oh, because we're doing this, we're gonna get grace back. Like God, you know, we're gonna get something out of it. No. We gave it because it was freely given to us. We serve such a great God. All we have to do is give. Give with our hearts. You know, it makes me think about our society right now and all of this cancel culture. Somebody says something that we don't like, one of them lose their job. Somebody does something we don't like, you know, they've got to lose their job. And we don't stop until they lose their job. We're like a pack of hyenas attacking them. We don't let up until we get that satisfaction. But why is our satisfaction in somebody else's misery? What does that say about us? That our joy, why do we get joy from other people's misery? This week, I want to challenge you to take notice at the opportunities you're given to give grace. Take notice of the opportunities that God has to give you grace. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week, same time.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1.